to Living with Moxie, where Shefali Burns and Donna Martouche, authors, entrepreneurs, and leaders in the world of business, education, and coaching, share ideas, resources, and strategies from the hosts and their guests to provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Join us for unique insights from outstanding achievers in business, relationships, health, finances, and living as they share strategies, wisdom, and lessons learned on the path to extraordinary living. Are you ready to live with Moxie?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Living with Moxie. I'm your host, Shefali Burns, and my co-host is here as well, Donna Martouche. Donna, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. So happy to be here.
And we are so excited today because we have a special guest with us who will be joining us a little bit later. But we're going to be talking about how to become an author and break into the speaking business. And so I thought we would start off by talking about how we are both authors and speakers and how we became authors and became speakers in our businesses. So later on today, we're going to be having George Carroll on the show with us. He is an author, speaker, and a coach. And he is a phenomenal entrepreneur, businessman who has written several books and is a speaker in his own right. So he's going to tell us more about how to become an author and a speaker. But in the meantime, Donna, let's share what we can with the audience about how we became authors and speakers and what that was like for us and why we even wanted to do that.
Yeah, and I think we can also go a little bit into George Carroll's background and some information about how he came to be on the show also as we're getting ready. But I think it's sort of interesting because it's something that I never expected to do. I'm not really sure. I don't want to say that I stumbled upon it, but growing up, I always wanted to be in the helping field. I imagined myself being a psychologist. I did possibly imagine myself writing specifically about the field of psychology. And it's sort of interesting, but, you know, life experiences lead you along the way to new paths. When I was younger, I remember listening to both Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer. And I was listening to Louise Hay's story about how no one would publish her book, or if they were going to publish it, they wanted it to be published a certain way. And she opened up Hay House, which is sort of so that she can publish her own book and do it her way. And I might not have the story exactly right, but I remember Wayne Dyer also referring to it and being so very proud of this incredible woman who did that. And you're talking at a time that was, not a common time for a woman to do that, but let alone for people to just decide that, hey, if I can't get someone to do it for me, I'm going to find a way to do it myself. At that time, I knew that I was going to do writing, and I also knew as a result of watching Wayne Dyer on stage that I was going to do speaking because I saw the interactions with him and people in an audience, and I saw how much one person was able to change a whole room of people. And I said, I started to think about the idea that working one-on-one or even in small groups is small compared to what's possible to contribute to the world and what you can actually create. And it was that day, and I was probably about 15 or 16 years old, that I started wondering what it would be like if I chose that and if I was able to work with large rooms of people and if I was able to reach people all over the world, but not just here in the United States, not with a set plan at the time, but just with this idea and this wondering. And then what would start to happen is I was invited to be in an event or asked to participate in something that was along the lines of what I was thinking. And then I liked it. And then I started to seek out opportunities or connect with people who do more of the speaking and the writing so that I can have more access to it and I could learn more about it. But it was a long time before I would actually stand in front of a room and speak with people that were, when I'm talking about hundreds of people in a room, calls with hundreds of people on a call from all over the world. It took until my 40s, I think, or my late 30s or my 40s before I was actually willing to do it, because I had to get past so many ideas about what I thought or decided a speaker was about, what they were supposed to do. Like, I thought I had to really pick one topic and become an expert in only one thing. And I thought that I would have had to have at least 5 books out there before I could have anything on a stage that somebody might want to hear. And I wasn't pulling from my personal life experience as much, because at the time I was still functioning from this belief that that's private and that I really shouldn't share some of the experiences that I had gone through. So much changed from the time that I actually first stood in front of a room of 75, 80 people to the time that I first did a phone call with over 700 people. And a lot of it had to do with my judgments, my perceptions, my ideas, and my decisions about what a speaker is, what an author has to know, what I have to be an expert in before I can show myself to the world. So it's been an ongoing change in process, and that's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of that topic. How about for you, Shefali?
Well, mine's been my story is kind of similar, but slightly different. You know, it's just amazing how, you know, when we're growing up, you know, we have these ideas, right? These preconceived notions of what it's supposed to look like. But, you know, when I was growing up, I used to read all the time. And, you know, I came to a point one day, I remember saying, you know what, I can write a book. I'm going to write a book. I have something to say. I have something to share. I'm going to write a book. And that one book that I've been wanting to write is still inside me. But in the process, in the past couple of years, you know, I wrote a book on weekend and I published it on Kindle just because to see what it was like, just to see if I could do it, you know. And it was like, oh, I can do that. That was easy. And then I published in several other anthologies, I think 3 or 4 now, almost 5, I think, anthologies where I submitted a chapter. That was easier for me to do than a whole book, right? So a chapter at a time. It's like, that's doable. I can do that. You know, and when it comes to speaking, oh, my goodness, you know, I used to be one of those wallflowers, believe it or not. You know, you could not get me up on stage. But when I would see people on stage and that pull, you know, I always saw myself standing on stage behind a podium talking to hundreds of people and just sharing information, sharing wisdom, sharing stories, whatever it was. It's just about sharing. And then when I finally did do it, you know, it's like, oh, I can do this. It's not that bad. But you know, we keep thinking it has to be harder than it appears, right? It looks really easy. But then we make it seem really hard, like we can't do that. There must be something special about these people. That's why they're doing it. I can't do that. What makes me think that I can do that? You know, all these wonderful thoughts go through our head. And, you know, it's a constant process of saying to ourselves, am I willing to show up? Am I willing to be visible? Am I willing to receive judgments from people? Am I willing to put myself out there, right? So many things we think about. But if you've ever had that thought or feeling, that emotion that you would like to write a book, then there's something within you that wants to get out, that wants to be nurtured and developed. And, you know, there's a vision there that you have for whatever this project is. So, you know, it's like, take the time, you know, take baby steps and just do it. And same thing with speaking. Start in front of a small group if you can, just to get the feeling of, you know, like you said, just to see if you even like it, see if you like the feeling. And then, you know, find more opportunities to do the same. And it's just amazing what can show up for you. And, you know, I always thought speaking was the same. Like, it has to be in front of hundreds of people live in front of me. But now, you know, we are live on a radio show. I do have a telesummit where I bring lots of guest speakers on as well. I've been featured on many other radio shows and podcasts and telesummits as well as a speaker. And it's like, you know what? It's not the way I thought it was going to be. It's actually so much easier. So, and it's so much more fun, you know, and that's what I like about it. Like, once you have that, you know, desire, you know, you can make it happen.
Yeah, I think that that's part of it. And I had to come out of a lot of space of judgment of me and the things that I've decided, my knowledge, you know, is it better, in, you know, in comparing myself, like, I think there was a period of me that said that I must have a certain number of years of experience, or I have to have this many degrees. And I've got tons of them, you know, degrees and master's certificates and doctorates and all sorts of, whether that be in alternative healing or regular education. And then it's sort of like, well, when is it enough for you to actually believe that you know something that that can benefit people or that's worth sharing? And then what I began to realize is that that just about, you know, that a lot of what was people gain the most from was stories that they're not anything you really learn from a book. I mean, your book knowledge may help or add, and your life experience helps but and add, but the stories of, you know, experiences and how you connect that to people and their lives is part of what really made the difference for me when I was speaking, that really made connections with people all over the world. And it's real life stuff where people are vulnerable and they really sometimes often feel like they're stuck and they're alone in a specific situation and they don't know how to close a gap from suddenly where they are to where they want to be. And those are the places that I'm not sure that any degree qualifies you to speak towards, you know, as far as that goes, as much as your ability to connect and pull from your own experience to share with others. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's what it's about, right? It's about connecting. It's about having that connection with each person who's listening to you. Something within your story, something within your experience is going to get them in some way. They're going to relate to it in some way. They're going to resonate with it in some way. And that's how you build that connection. So not everyone is going to get me. I get that. But, you know, the people that do are the ones that I'm speaking to, you know? So I have so many stories. So which ones do I think are worthy of being shared, right? Like we don't think that what we have to share is of value, you know? And I think that that has been the biggest stumbling block for me. It's like, I don't think, or in the past, I didn't think that what I have experienced or what I've gone through, what I've learned, what I've gleaned, the wisdom is not going to be of value to anyone. And that's like a completely false premise, you know? Oh, and we'll be back in just a few minutes here on Living with Moxie.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at deblivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Hi, this is Tony Bennett, and I'm a volunteer for LifeBeat. The music industry fights AIDS. We all know that there are some new medications for people with AIDS, but there is still no cure. This is why I personally volunteer for LifeBeat. The AIDS crisis is not over, and people need help. Volunteer for your local AIDS organization. They need you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We are here today, and today we're talking about what it is that you would need to do in order to break into the speaking business, and how becoming an author might be easier than you think, and how it might be able to help you in the field of speaking. I'm not sure how many of you actually would love to be in the field, but I do know that in my last few years, ever since I've been involved in writing and publishing all over the world, I can't tell you how many people come up to us and say, you know, how do you write a book? Where do you start? Where do you go? What do you need to know? Do I need to pay this much money? Is it hard? Where do you find the people? I think that we often create tasks to be much harder than they actually need to be in our minds. And getting past that is one of the big pieces. And one of the ways to get past that is truly asking questions. So it's very good when you ask those questions. One of the other things, though, that I also got stuck on for me personally before I began writing or speaking in any way, shape, or form is people have always told me that I had to pick something that I've decided that I'm an expert in. And I must know exactly who my audience needs to be. Those are two places where I sometimes sat and pondered and said, well, until I'm certain about that, I better do nothing. Have you ever heard those things, Shefali? Hello? Shefali? Shefali? Oh, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Thanks so much. Okay. So I'm sorry. I thought that I might have lost all of you guys there, but it sounds like I'm still here. So one of the places where I've gotten stuck is this idea of I have to be an expert and I have to decide exactly who my audience is going to be. And I find it really interesting, you know, when we do have George Carroll on, you'll see that the topics that he's written about a few different topics. And I'm sure that through the course in time, they might have connected. And it's going to be one of the questions that we ask him is, how did you pick the topics that you wrote about? And where did you decide, you know, your target audience? It's one of the places where lots of people say, until I know that, I really can't write anything. Welcome back, young lady.
No idea what happened there.
I don't know. So I'm just going to give them some background information about George Carroll, and he should be joining us somewhere around 7:30, 7:35, around there. He sort of double booked his time a little bit by accident. He was born in Colorado, and when he was younger, he actually focused on a passion for football, and he grew up in a neighborhood where all the other kids were older than him, and he was often forced to play up to his competition right from the beginning. He played in Little League with kids that were his age. He stood out like a sore thumb. He was out running, out playing his competition. He really loved football, and he might talk about that, but he might not have a lot of time to talk about it. His love for football, along with his endless work ethic, helped him break many records in the state of Colorado at his position of wide receiver, and his hero growing up was Jerry Rice. One of the reasons why I'm giving you this information is because it's sort of always interesting to see where someone believes that they're going and where they actually wind up. When George was growing up doing a harmless run play during his senior season while just 95 yards short of the school record for yards in a career and potentially on his way to play pro football, his leg and ankle were shattered while blocking a defender. He graduated from UNC with a communication degree and moved to Denver, Colorado, and excelled in corporate sales and management. But he was left feeling unfulfilled and empty inside, and he resigned from a comfortable six-figure salary knowing something greater was possible. Looking for what that was, he turned to the human potential movement, seeking healing, growth, and transformation, which is really where I met George Carroll. As a result of his own transformation experiences, his passion to help others on their journey of transformation was ignited. He eventually started his own speaking, training, and coaching business, and he's written several books at this point in time that are out there. And along the way, George found his business failing and moving into his brother's spare bedroom for 8 months as he rebuilt his businesses and his life. He hired mentors and studied some of the great entrepreneurs of our time. He created a six-figure speaking salary, training, and coaching business, and he moved to San Diego, California, looking for even more financial success. He took his business to great heights, and he was guided to sell all of his possessions and minimize his life into two suitcases and a car. Unknowingly, George would face his greatest fears while being homeless for about 8.5 months, and during that time, his life would be turned inside out, and the transformation he would experience would be irreversible. He wrote a book about this experience, and this was the book called The Homeless Motivational Speaker. And he's well known for that book, as well as the way that he facilitates and delivers his messages during live events, corporate trainings, and online programs all over the world. He's done trainings for organizations such as Capital One, American Family Insurance, Colorado Association of Realtors, Monster.com, Lawyers with Purpose, and he's known for his wisdom and his laser coaching style, in addition to his playful, fun-loving personality. So I'm really looking forward to you all getting to hear his perspective of what it's like to break into this industry. One of the things I've gotten to see George in multiple places. We've trained with some of the same people or taken classes with some of the same people in our lifetime, not always at the same time, but some of the same people. He wrote 3 books, The Homeless Motivational Speaker, Developing a Healthy Relationship with Money, Maximum Performance and Productivity, that would appear to be very different, which is one of the things that we're going to talk to him about, coming from this perspective. Different topics, different audiences, different targets. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that when he comes on. And I'm looking forward to you hearing how he got to where he is, in part because I used to love when we were in the same class together, I would watch him really dig deep to find the question that could help him shift something that was in his life. And the reason why I mention that is because part of really being successful and getting to that spot for me has always been getting past this stuff that we tell ourselves about asking questions or being vulnerable or not letting anybody know that you don't know something. And I would watch as he would really, in his mind, you know, when you could see that somebody's thinking about a question, he would really play with the question until he can get the words out right. And then sometimes he'd ask it and then he'd re-ask it. And you can see the shift that was starting to happen, but it required some digging deep and some vulnerability and some willingness to actually say, hey, I don't know. Like, I don't know where to go from here. What would be my first step? Which I really admired it when I watched him within a class or even when I listened to him speak, the willingness to be vulnerable, the willingness to ask the questions. Shefali, for you, did you ever get stuck on what does your topic have to be about or do you have to be an expert?
Absolutely. And I think most people do. And the thing is, it's great to ask questions, but it's even greater to listen for the response, right? To listen for the awareness of what the answer is instead of just thinking and trying to figure it out, instead of listening to everybody else telling you what you should do, instead of, you know, going within and saying, okay, what do I want to share? Because really, it doesn't really matter who your target market is. It's more about what do you want to express? How do you want to express yourself to the world, you know, in what way? And then those people, whoever, you know, that topic resonates with, will be your target market, you know? And so it doesn't have to be that complicated. The first step is just to ask the questions so that you will start to do something about it. So you'll start to share something. So you'll start to write that first paragraph. And the first paragraph doesn't have to be the beginning of a book. It can be the middle, absolutely, you know, anywhere. You know, and that's what I think people get stuck with is where do I start and how do I start? And I don't know if anyone is going to want to read this at all. You know, so those questions we have to go within and find out what's blocking us. Why are we having these thoughts? And what can we do to shift those thoughts and those feelings? Because we can shift them and we can start to create what we desire. And it's a matter of just having that perseverance to keep following our dream, keep following our vision. And, you know, we've talked about this before, Donna, about having those goals, having those visions, and focusing on them on a regular basis. And one of those could be writing a book, you know? So have that in the forefront of your mind and say, okay, this is what I want to write about. I'm just going to start sharing anything and then go from there. For me, I think, you know, it's been difficult, I'll be honest, to start sharing because I was kind of like, you're like, I can't share my personal stuff. It's private. How, you know, nobody wants to really hear what I have, what's happened to me or what I've experienced. But that's not true. You know, people do want to hear because people can relate to that. And then you become human. And that's who they're relating to, not necessarily the topic or the subject, but they're relating to you. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the other pieces is once you actually acknowledge what your target is, so if your target is to do something along the lines of write a book or become a speaker, you can become more aware of what questions you need to ask to gather the information so that you know how to do it. Because what I found some of the biggest blocks are is when people start asking questions and then they have the information. I've seen people write books in as fast as 7 days. Like, you know, they just sit down, they start writing because they've had this inside of them and they write it. And then, you know, and then they go through the editing process and, you know, what it looks like at the end and what they might have written in that 7 days might be very different. But once they get the information on the steps that you have to take, or, you know, where you can go to for resources, or just some general idea of a cost, or, you know, and anything along those lines where it can become more real and more tangible, it becomes easier. It's like all of a sudden you know what step one can be in order to work towards your target. And that doesn't even begin to happen until you're willing to actually say out loud, like, hey, I want to write a book, you know, so where do I start? And you go through, because it's not going to happen when you keep that all inside and you try and figure it out within your mind. And a lot of people do get lost in the fight in their monkey mind as far as that goes. So we're getting ready to take a break and write down some of the questions that you might have about being an author, about breaking into the speaking business, and what do you need to know, or what you would love to know when George does come on and join us, because we're going to be breaking for a commercial break any second now, and you'll get to hear all the great information from Om Times Radio and their sponsors, and then we'll be back with you shortly. And take some time to think about what's stopping you and what would you love to know in order to get moving. We'll be right back after these messages.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello. Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart, while you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. You'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change, called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you back. I hope you had a few minutes to think about what would be stopping you from actually showing up. Oh, thank you so much. Hi, George. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. It's Donna and Shefali here. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Sorry I'm a little bit late.
That's all right. I already did the introduction with your bio, and we started talking a little bit about some of the things that have stopped people from choosing going into speaking or writing. And we'd love to, I'll tell you two questions that came up, and then we're going to pass it right on to you. You know, so one of the questions that came up was along the lines of, do you have to be an expert? Because you specifically, George, have written books about what appears to be several different topics, and where do you start? But I'm going to leave you, the expert, to start from here and guide the listeners to how you do this.
Okay, sounds good.
Go ahead.
Okay, got it. So the first question is, do you have to be an expert to write a book?
Yeah, do you have to pick an – so one of the things that came up is, you know, people have always said you have to know your target, you have to know your audience, you have to pick a topic and be an expert.
Got it. Okay. So here's what I think about that. I think that it really depends on what your target for your book is. And once you get clear on what your target and your outcome for your book is, and then you can reverse engineer it from there. So a good example is, a lot of people work with me to write their book because they are a coach or a change agent, or they want to step into speaking. And so with that, we tend to be a little bit more strategic in the way that we approach it. And we start to look at, okay, do you want your book to position you as an expert for a topic that you would like to get paid to speak on, as a question? And if the answer is yes, then we start to explore, what topics are people already paying money for that are booking speakers, and how can we sort of move your message and organize it in a way that fits in a package that they are used to receiving? Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense. And what comes up for me is, so they are hearing the idea of expert coming in, but it's sort of saying, well, you probably already have the information, but you're asking them questions to help them frame that in a way that can position them and prepare them for getting out there in their field.
Yeah, and, you know, there is a lot of meticulous work in terms of figuring out, if you do want to speak with your book, are people already paying money for it? Because if, you know, one of the things that my speaking mentor, James Malinchak, I highly recommend, by the way, if you've never learned from James or watched his videos or been to any of his boot camps, I highly recommend his 4-day Big Money Speaker Boot Camp, because it's, I mean, it is an entire education about the speaking business and how to make money in it. And since working with him, that's really when I start to see my speaking business fly, is he understands the game. He's been doing it for a long time. And the thing that he always teaches is people, companies, organizations, people who hold conferences are already used to paying money for certain topics. And he narrows it down to the top 10. And he says, if you can take your content, your information, and take the sort of the presentation piece of it and wrap it in a package that they can, that they're used to seeing, that they're willing to pay money for, then you got a great topic on your hands. So here's an example of that I think that will help is, companies pay a lot of money for productivity and peak performance. And so James's whole strategy is, okay, well, if you write a book on peak performance and productivity, you become more of an expert in that topic and in that area. And then you can utilize your book as another tool to say, hey, I'm a speaker and an author on this topic. And the book kind of positions you as an expert. And, you know, one thing that I love about writing a book is that it can make you more of an expert on a topic that you're already really well versed on. And so I always tell people, you know, don't use your current knowledge base that you have right now to write a book. Let the book give you the opportunity to expand your awareness, your knowledge, and your wisdom in that specific area, so that you are even more of an expert than when you first started.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that insight. That's really great. So the book even becomes an opportunity for you to expand your skills, your knowledge, and even your reach, it sounds like, then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you – go ahead. That's okay, George. I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead. You can finish that thought. Hello?
Unless we lost him.
We might have lost him.
He had some difficult – yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay.
You know, oops, sorry about that, guys.
Oh, we got you. Oh, there you are. Yay. So, George, you wrote 3 books that seem to be very different in topic. Can you talk a little bit about how that came up for you as far as, you know, your career goes as an author so far?
Yeah. So the first book was inspired through being homeless and living out of my car for about 8.5 months. And it was an opportunity for me to write my own memoir. And what I did was I wrote basically my life story starting from the young age of 3 and talked about the different challenges that I had along the way, the different ways that I overcame them, and I also inserted some tools that I've learned along the way from NLP and hypnosis and access consciousness and all the different bodies of work that I've explored along the way. And it was sort of my first go at writing a book. And the second book came from being a little bit more strategic and saying, well, I want to break into the college speaking market. And so I went to James, one of James's boot camps, and he talks about the topics that colleges are already paying money for. And one of the topics is financial literacy. And I look back at my own personal experiences, and this is one thing that I recommend with my book writing mastermind is write on a topic that you have experience or knowledge in. That will help create momentum when you start the writing process. And so I wrote that book because I look back and watched my parents go through bankruptcy very early on. And, you know, I as kids, a lot of times we model what our parents do. And by the age of 29, I was claiming bankruptcy. And after that, I needed to make a shift. And so the biggest shift that I made was changing my relationship with money, how I felt about it, how the beliefs that I held about it. And that allowed me to do the things necessary to start building wealth, to start building more income. And so it's an opportunity for me to, as a business, to generate income sharing a topic that I'm really passionate about that I know can help a lot of kids. And then the third book was very similar, you know, on for the corporate market. I wanted to break in as a performance and productivity speaker. So I wrote a book on it and did a lot of research on it and packaged something that I think adds a lot of value to a lot of companies out there and employees. So the last two were more strategic than the first one, but the first one was more the labor of love to get it out so that, you know, I could build that muscle as a published author.
What about the vulnerability? I mean, I noticed in some of your writing and in your videos, your willingness to be vulnerable, which seems to, when I have the opportunity to watch you, also seems to help you with connection. I mean, just from an observation from, you know, whether I watch you in class or I watch a video or I see your connections on Facebook, how do you think that that has helped you in your writing and in your speaking?
Oh, what a fun question. Let's see here. So you know, anybody who has done a lot of personal work has probably come to some sort of teaching around the power of vulnerability and in that space, how we have access to so much more of ourselves, to so much more possibility. And I think over the course of time, being very defensive, you know, kind of tough kid from a rough town, over the course of time, just breaking down those barriers and seeing that it was actually safe and okay to be vulnerable. And not only that, that's where so much of my brilliance lives. It just became more fun to operate from that place of vulnerability than to have a bunch of barriers up, which, you know, it takes way more energy to hold your barriers up than it does to be vulnerable. And, you know, it just became the space that I committed to myself that I was going to live from. And although I'm not perfect, I get defensive, I get triggered, I get pissed off, I get angry every now and again, I have the tool to be able to bring all that down and operate again from vulnerability.
So if you were going to, I love that about you. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you here. I mean, I was with you in Rome when I saw you ask some questions, and I have this picture of you and Gary and Dane, you know, as you're crawling into their lap when you were talking about vulnerability and your willingness to really let go of all of your barriers and also to receive from others, which is very important because you're doing something that's very public now. So you're receiving a lot of both negative and positive information from people all day long. You know, I saw you talk about your willingness to be rejected not too long ago, which is something that I'm sure our listeners are going to want to hear. But what I'd like to do is take a step back from the questions I'm asking you and give you the opportunity to, we're going to go to break in about 4 minutes, but give you the opportunity to walk them through the type of class that you offer and what you would say to people who want to get into speaking and into
writing a book.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, so it's
Donna
funny. What's that?
I think we lost Donna, but that's okay.
Okay, I can flow with it. So I did a Facebook Live video training today called 5 Ways to Know If You're Ready to Write a Book. And I'll just kind of go through them here. And the first one is that You've had challenging life experiences. You've overcome a lot of limitations. You've overcome certain things in your life that have made you a bigger, better, and more shinier person, if you will. And I think that in itself says that you're ready to write a book, because our life journey is a unique individual blueprint that very similar to our fingerprint and our pupil and our voice tone is very unique, and nobody else has it. I always tell people, nobody knows what you know like you know it. And people's experiences are some of the greatest teachers on the planet. And when people are willing to put themselves out there and put their stories out there and share some of the things that they've learned along the way, I think it could be such a phenomenal way to make a positive change in the world with other people. And the second one is that somebody told you along the way that, hey, you should write a book. Because I personally believe that, you know, the universe or God or the creator communicates to us in a lot of different ways. And in many cases, it's through other people. And so if anybody's ever told you, hey, you should write a book, I think there's something that people should check in there and see, hey, should I write a book? So that's the second way. The third way is, do I still have time, or are we going to a break here soon?
Yep. No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So the third thing, the third way you know, is that you've received that internal nudge. A lot of times people know it's time for them to write a book because they've received that intuitive nudge that, hey, it's time to write a book. And there's not much more I could say on that. People who have received the nudge have received it, and people who haven't received it haven't received it. So if you've received the nudge, write that dang book. The fourth way is if you want to utilize it as a positioning tool to grow your business. So a great example of this is, let's say you are a nutrition and health coach, and you decide to write a book on nutrition and health and, you know, eating clean and all that good stuff, whatever goes into your body of work, and you decide to write a book. So now you're a coach who has a book, and your book can serve as your content or your coaching program, and it kind of lifts you up and separates you from all the other coaches out there, the nutrition coaches that don't really have a book. It's a great way to position yourself as an expert in your topic. Or, like I said, if you wanted to grow your business as a speaker, a book is a great way to position your topic and you as an expert. And the
Thank you, George. We'll save the fifth one for when we come back from break, because we're just about to go on break now. So we'll be back here on with Moxie in just a few moments.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Want to know some fun facts about colonoscopies? Colon cancer is 90% preventable. A colonoscopy can detect and prevent colon cancer in one fell swoop. But here's a not-so-fun fact. Lots of people are so uncomfortable even talking about a colonoscopy that they never get one. If you're 50 or 45 for African Americans, get screened now. Maybe even earlier if you have a family history. To schedule a screening today, visit StopColonCancerNow.com.
Hello, everyone. We're back here on Living with Moxie with our special guest, George Carroll. And George was just talking to us about five ways that you might know that you are ready to write a book. So we've been through four, and so now we are on to number five. So George, what was the fifth way that we know that we are ready to write that book?
Well, I'm glad we went to break, because I actually forgot what the fifth one was until we went to break. So I appreciate that time. So the fifth one is that if you want to step into a greater version of you, you should definitely write a book. So right before I hit the publish button on my first book, I had a guy reach out to me who was a mentor for me, somebody who did I hired to do some healing work like with myself and my own limiting patterns. And I got an email from him the day before I was ready to hit publish. I got a really nasty email from him. It's very like, who do you think you are to publish a book? And, you know, sort of a colleague in the field of consciousness. And it hurt and it stung. And I remember crawling into a ball for a couple of days because I got so afraid. Somebody I would have respected and, you know, did work with just took some shots at me. And so for a couple of days, man, I just crawled into a hole. And one morning I woke up really pissed off, really hurt, but really pissed off a couple of days later. And I said, wait one damn minute here. I said, wait one damn minute. Like, this is the same pattern I've been using my entire life to slow me down from being a greater version of me. I've been so worried about not pissing people off. I've been so worried about not rocking the boat. I've been so concerned with making sure that the people around me aren't upset with anything that I do that I've been holding myself back. And so once I figured that out, once I had that awareness, I said, screw this, no more. And I hit the publish button, and nothing was ever the same again. And once you make that decision to write your book, you better be prepared to step through some crap, because it is challenging. I mean, Shefali, I think both of you are published authors, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
I have some chapters in books. My own book has not come out as of yet.
Yeah, that's another thing that I mentioned in today's training is that when I first started writing books, I wrote two chapters in two different books in the same year, and there was a really beautiful buzz about saying, you know, I'm a published author. I have this, you know, chapter in this compilation book, and it was great. But then the buzz wore off. The buzz of it wore off because I knew in my heart of hearts that that wasn't my book.
Right.
So I stopped promoting it, and I didn't really utilize it in any way. And then when I published my own book, it's a totally different game. So I tell people, listen, if you publish a chapter in a book, that's a great start. Let's build on it and expand that thing into your own book.
Yeah, I think that's – go ahead, Shefali. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, what you just shared about the fifth step, I just wanted to go back to that for a second. It's like, oh, my God, I had just such a big aha. But that I think is one of my major reasons or blocks that have been stopping me from really living full out is I'm not wanting to make mistakes, not wanting to hurt anybody, not wanting to step on people's toes, not wanting to this, that, and the other thing. So I'm just so glad you shared that because I really wanted people to hear that that is something that we all go through and that we can get past that. We, you know, and we can start to do more of what it is that we want. And so we were hoping, George, that you could also share with us for somebody who's just beginning. Can you talk about your programs or steps that you walk someone through as, you know, when they're just starting out?
Just starting writing their book?
Just starting out with the idea of I'd love to get into speaking or write a book. Where do I start? Who do I go to? What kind of class do I take? What do I need to know?
Yeah, I would say what I call large chunk information first, meaning look at industry of speaking and take a look at who's already really crushing it in this industry that I can learn from, that holds classes, that holds trainings. And I would say if you're just getting started with speaking and you want a real kick-ass education on the speaking business, go to bigmoneyspeakerbootcamp.com. And my mentor, James Malinchak, has the best speaker training that I've ever personally experienced and implemented into my business and seen pretty fast results as a result of. So, I mean, I would say bypass me and go learn from James. He's the man that you want to learn from.
And who would be the right person for one of your mastermind programs? I know you do the write your book in 126 days or something like that. You have a couple of different types of programs for people who really want to jump into the next step. Who's the right person for that type of program?
I would say if anything resonated with you in the five things that I shared, you're the right person, because typically somebody who's ready to write their book is not just ready to write their book. They're ready for another level in their life. They're ready for another chapter in their life, and they're ready to play a bigger game. And what a book allows you to do is to do it from a business standpoint and do it professionally so that you can start generating more income. It becomes another stream of income for your business. It becomes a door opener for more coaching clients, more speaking clients, bigger workshops, bigger classes. It becomes a catalyst for so much more from a business standpoint, and the personal gains and growth that you gain from it are also just a big bonus.
So where do they find you to find out about the classes and programs that you offer?
They can go to, for that specific one, I would send them to BPA, like Become Published Author, BPA126.com. Mm-hmm. It's BPA126.com, and they can learn. Actually, I have another opening launching October 20th, and the doors open September 1st. So they can learn all about that mastermind, everything they get with it, the different price points that they have access to. And it's just a really killer program. I've produced in that program 10 published authors in under 2 years in that program by itself.
That's awesome. When it comes to the speaking part, you know, do you feel like that you need to actually have the book out there in order to be the speaker that's getting booked for events?
No, I don't think you need to. What you do need to have is some level of marketing on your side, whether it be a great demo reel. And a demo reel in the speaking business is just a bunch of clips of you pieced together that show you speaking in front of different audiences on the specific topic that you like to speak on. Because we live in a day and age where people can find a lot of information about you in a very short period of time. And people in the industry who book speakers are becoming a lot more savvy. And when the closest thing they can get to actually experiencing you in person is through a video. And I would say that's the next most important thing. The first is definitely a book, and the next most important thing is having speaking videos on YouTube showing that, hey, I am a speaker and I do speak on this topic. And I have – so the third thing you want to have is video testimonials of the people who hired you saying how amazing you were. And the more of that you have, the more social proof you have, and the better chances you have to get booked on your topic.
Yeah, social proof has become something that's seems to be very important and growing everywhere. I see it on websites, it's all over the place where you have the people literally saying, we love to have you, George is wonderful, and this is what I learned, and all of that information. That's great. With our last few minutes, George, do you want to give our listeners anything specific right from your heart as to what you'd love to leave them with?
I would just say, like, go get it. Whatever it is for you, go get it. You know, I do a lot of talks to a lot of different groups. Recently, I was with the Transportation Department of Vancouver School District in Washington. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about is, like, we get one go at this life. And, you know, whatever you study, whether it be spiritual or consciousness or religion, whatever it is, none of us really truly know what exactly happens after we leave this life. Like, we have our ideas, we have awarenesses, we have beliefs, but we don't truly really know. And so because of that, like, why not live full out? Why not give it everything you have going toward what you love? And I think the most important piece in all of that is you've got to find something that you love. So whether it takes you a year or 10 years to figure out what you love, we live in a day and age that you can make money doing it. You know, with the explosion in technology, with the explosion in the way that business is being run, it's very cheap and to almost no overhead to run a business these days online. And, you know, I would just say if whatever's holding you back, maybe write a book as an example or as a way to get beyond some of those limitations. But whatever it is that you desire to create in the world, don't stop, because at the end of your life, only you'll ask this question. You'll ask, did I give it everything that I have? And only you will be able to to tell yourself the truth. And you won't be able to lie to yourself. So I say find it, whatever it is that you love, and go after it with everything you got.
That's incredible. That's awesome. I'm with you on that one. And I just want to add on a personal note, George is a new dad to this absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous being who I love to see pictures of. And has being a dad actually driven you differently since you've had your son?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like there's levels of hunger that have been tapped into that I didn't know I had.
Awesome. And that's a strength. So the reason why I ask that is because sometimes people are often asking, like, where do I pull the strength from? How do I overcome the fear? You know, what are, and we can find sources of strength within us in all different places. And I do notice that very often when people become a parent, that becomes one source, or using your fear to your advantage, like to the opposite side of it is what would happen if I actually never tried it, if I never did it, if I never choose it, so that you can really push past it. Are there any other tricks, George, before you get on stage, before you send that, you know, that proposal to speak that you actually have to do in your mental mind in order to get past that hurdle?
When I speak, yeah, I always, it's funny, I'm launching a new video series called Behind the Scenes and On Stage with George Carroll, where I share my morning routine before the event. I bring you on stage through video during the presentation. I take you a little bit behind the scenes after the presentation to show people that, hey, it's, you know, success comes as a result of hard work, preparation, and putting a lot of energy and effort toward what you want to create, and it doesn't happen by chance. So I'm always cultivating, you know, what I've learned from Tony Robbins is your state, your mental and emotional state at high vibrations, because when we're operating at that level, we just tap into our genius and creativity way better.
We do. Yeah. Thank you so much, George. It was great to have you. Sorry that it went so quickly. Everyone, we're looking forward to being with you all here next week. You can keep sending your questions. We tried to get to them all. And thank you all for being with us. See you next week. Thank you, George. Thank you, Shefali.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you,
keep up the good work.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you.